Would you please join us in the flag salute? Public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. For each of the items that are on the agenda, we'll have a separate comment period during that particular agenda item. So would anyone like to address the board generally at this time? Hugh?
Hey, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, directors, I am Hugh Gilson. I am a resident of Oceano in the Duna Vista Senior Mobile Home Park, and I'm here this evening as a spokesperson for the San Luis Obispo County Association of Manufactured Homeowners. The sole purpose of my visit here is to request that you place the mobile home park conversion issue on the agenda for your next meeting. We believe it's an important issue, and it has far-reaching effects not only on mobile home park owners, but the entire county and Oceano as a whole. I have included some information outlining our position in the package that I left for each of you, and also my email address if anyone requires any further clarification or has questions. Please feel free to contact me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hugh. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Mark?
Good evening, President Hill, members of the board. My name is Mark Wampler, Oceano. Attended a couple of very important meetings here recently. Last night, I attended the Bicycle Advisory Committee in San Luis, third floor government building. And there were approximately 18 people in attendance, staff from Highway Patrol, SLOCOG, Caltrans, Public Works, also representatives from each of the five supervisorial districts were there. I had made a presentation voicing some concerns about the proposed bike lane along 22nd Street. And I gathered some information, some more clarification on that project. It will be a Class 2 bicycle lane. That's a minimum of 4 feet per side. That is 8-foot wide extension. I was also informed that corner lots may face a 3-foot encroachment debate about a graffiti abatement ordinance. And I was very impressed with their proactive approach to it. Their funding mechanism is they're going to be reallocating funds from their existing property tax. I was assured, and it was made very clear, that there will be no Prop 218 vote or taxes raised in the Pomo for this project. And I would have to say, why not here? I would like for this item to be revisited right here as an agenda item, if I may request that for next meeting. Graffiti, we know what it does to our property values. We know what people think when they look at a community that is damaged with graffiti. It must be stopped on all fronts. This is one area that the district can get involved, and I believe it's critical for our future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay. Antonia.
Yes. Antonia Maldonado, Oceano. The reason I'm here is because it says attend the meeting for the committee for the Dooms, and it's not even 24 hours notice. So how is the people going to know? You know that we had this going where we only have it in the agenda and then in the newspaper today, but not even, you know, we didn't have enough time for the community to read the newspaper. Some of them are still working and don't have time to see the paper, the little over here, you know, that you guys printed, or I don't know who did, but it's not enough. You know, it's not time enough, you know, for them to come forward to the meeting or anything else to have their give their opinion in such short time. So next time I suggest that when we have something going like this, that it's so important to the community, that we at least get a week or two of paper or notices for the people of the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonia. Anyone else like to address the board at this time? Mary?
Hi, how are you? Mary Lucy Asciano. Maybe I bypassed it or something, but on the agenda, I didn't see the goal setting as a topic. But included in the packet was your goal setting process. So I was wondering, was an oversight, you know, or something? Because usually there's a follow up when you have a goal setting. So maybe you guys really haven't been listening to people, you know, because that's what we come and talk about, flooding, curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, and it's not in your goal setting. So I kind of feel slammed at this point. And why should we keep coming? You know, it didn't even make it on the darn paper, much less follow up on your agenda. So.
Thank you, Mary. Anyone else? Dr. Nell.
Good evening, President Hill and honorable members of Oceano Community Services District. I have such great respect for each one of you, and I'm proud to be here. I bring a kind of an odd thing to you tonight that isn't related to the other item on the agenda, and that is the pollution of bacteria in the waters of Pismo Beach and their possible link to the thousands of primitive campers on Oceano Beach. This matter was brought to my attention several months ago, and I've been trying to get the statistics from state parks about the violations of the dumping of the tanks from the campers into the sand that would cause this pollution. I am told on very good authority from people who are very informed on this subject that twice before, Pismo has had to put signs up warning people not to go in the water. Both were from sewer coming out into the ocean over here, and the water went north, and the contamination went north. I actually saw the pier go north one winter, so I know that the currents do go north at times. So what I'd just like to bring up to the board is that we may have a situation, and I don't know the authority here, what you can do, what you would want to do, but the study that's being done by Pismo, Dennis Delzite, cannot encompass Oceano, even though this contamination may be coming from our campground. So there is grant money, a proposition 40, and there are people who want to protect the ocean, and I'm just throwing this out. I wish I were better prepared to give you better information, but it's going to be possible to get money to do a study. Who's going to do that study?
Yesterday, and I wanted to just remind people not to throw things out of your car, to cover your loads. We picked up tons of trash yesterday, including a lot of fast food representatives, beer cans, things that have blown off trucks. It is amazing what is out there. This district pays about $1 million a year to pick up trash. Statewide, it's $55 million. Just think what we could do with that money to improve our roads instead of picking up trash. So please don't throw things out your windows. The other scary thing out there was cigarette butts were thrown out. And I hate to see that, knowing that we have a very dry year and we could start fires out there. So that's my Caltrans speech. The other thing that came up this last month is the County Board of Supervisors heard an agenda item very similar to what I was talking about at the last meeting. It was a request to approve the use of a proposed annual reporting and formation process manual for the community advisory councils. This is in response to the grand jury report, and they have a message from the Board of Supervisors. They have a checklist for the community advisory councils. They do talk about a broad range of people being involved. They do talk about having people that are in the community be part of it. And the one thing that concerned me a little was that they are talking about the advisory councils having comments rather than recommendations. But I made copies for everyone so you can see what's going on with this. I thought it was very useful for what's going on here in the district. And that's all I have for now.
Okay. Thank you. Bill?
I don't have anything.
I have nothing at this time either. Brings us to item number five, review and approval of the minutes. We have two tonight, the April 23rd goal setting and April 25th regular meeting.
We need to take those separately.
You can take them as one action.
I wasn't here on one.
That's okay, then you need to take them separately.
We'll take them separately.
That's the reason, I think. 2007, the goal setting session as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. And for April 25th?
Make a motion that we accept the minutes for April 25th as presented.
I'd second the motion.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
One abstention, I guess.
Passes 4-0 with one abstention. Brings us to item number six, reports. Commander Martin Basti of the Sheriff's South Station is not here tonight, and in his place we have Sergeant Jay Donovan of the Sheriff's South Station. Sergeant, welcome.
Thank you. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the board, on behalf of Commander Martin Basti, I'm here tonight. He had other commitments that he wasn't able to reschedule. Just a few things that have been happening lately in the community to make you aware. The topic of graffiti on May the 2nd at Oceano Elementary School. Deputies and myself went out on a number of subjects, ended up making four arrests. That included the recovery of a large graffiti pack, included 10 items that were used for marking graffiti, and graffiti that was, in fact, starting to take place at the school. Ongoing investigation with the Roy Grandy Police Department and into the rural Roy Grandy and Oceano areas with others that are involved in tagging who have been identified. So I won't claim that we're making progress, but we are making strides towards the apprehension, continual investigation of those crimes. Other than that, as of late, due to the recent, which can't tell tonight, the recently warming weather has caused a volume increase in disturbance calls related to alcohol offenses, and subsequently domestic disputes and fighting in public. We also have the summer schedule is upon us, which means the Sheriff's South Station has been called upon to support operations at Lopez Lake, which means the manning of a boat and land patrols out there due to the high volume of tourist traffic that comes to that area. We have seen once again identity theft hitting the community, scams and whatnot, and I would strongly suggest that burns and other stuff that night. And we happened to be in the area, and the suspect was apprehended. So he fled, but he was able to be apprehended. And that concludes the basic activities that we've been conducting in the Oceano area since the last report.
Okay, thank you very much. Any comment or questions from the board for the sergeant?
I already know the answer to this question, but I wanted to ask you to see if there's what procedure, if the Sheriff's Department could do anything. I've had several people in the community ask me about the parking of the cars for sale down Catty Corner to the Melodrama and Railroad Street, which is railroad property. Mm-hmm. Is there any? Is that completely out of your jurisdiction? It's more the railroad.
The railroad actually, you know, does have their own police department. And I have their number at the office. If anyone's interested, we can find a number or I can drop it off at the front counter if you'd like tomorrow.
That would be good.
And make it attention to you, Mr. Bookout.
Well, yeah, that and, I mean, making it available to the community. It's a lot of people have come to me and mentioned that, you know, they don't want to see cars parked over there, and they don't understand why we are not, you know, seeing it removed.
I've noticed it tends to ebb and flow back and forth as the number of vehicles parked there comes and subsides, and so. But I will bring that number over.
Does anyone from the audience have a question for the sergeant? No. Looks like. Thank you very much. Thank you for the job you helped do to keep us all safe and sound, and we very much appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. Have a good night.
Item number 6B, reports of district department heads. The administrative assistant report, utility operations supervisor report, and the fire chief's report. Are there comments or questions on the reports? Comments or questions from the public on the reports? The fire department is working on two major grants that they're pursuing, and the budget process is getting to be in pretty close to full swing, so that's a quick summary.
The meeting is a courtesy to our citizens and our audience, and we have a number of citizens in the audience tonight. I think it just would, if somehow or other we could have the board approve the change in the order of the agenda, and I would suggest that we do that every meeting.
I appreciate that. I was going to suggest that also. I think that we will reschedule item 7 to the end of the meeting.
And I certainly have no objection to that. I just want to remind the board, maintain the corporate memory, that the reason why the board decided to move it up from where we used to traditionally hold it was because you were always coming up against the 10 o'clock hour and your commitment to try and finish by 10 o'clock. But whatever you want to do.
We will hold it over with mindfulness of the 10 o'clock hour. Thank you.
Thanks for explaining to me why it was done that way.
Okay, item 8, fire items. 8A is the Safe and Sane Fireworks Program, review of the applications that were submitted for participation in the 2007 Safe and Sane Fireworks Program. We have a staff report. Comments or questions?
The Safe and Sane Fireworks Program.
Microphone.
Thank you. It's a constant training problem for me. The Safe and Sane Fireworks Program in the district has established a policy that we have used for the last few years, which is selecting 5 organizations to apply for the sale of the fireworks within the district. The same 5 organizations that have applied in past years have applied once again this year and have filled out the appropriate work, including the reports on what they did with last year's money that the board requested earlier in the process. And we those are all in your packet for you, and we would recommend that you approve the selection of these 5 in the process.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the board on the staff report?
I just have one comment, if I may. The Highway Patrol, in their what they do for the community, I think in there it says what group or people in the community receive some benefit from the donation. I would like us to remind them to please do that. And again, I don't care what group would get it. It could be Meals on Wheels. I don't really care. But we don't put it for the community.
I agree with your comment. I think we did make the point of requesting that some of the funds definitely come back to the community from those sales. Also, a comment about the fireworks that are proposed to be sold are the safe and sane type, which are the ones that stay on the ground. They're not ones that go up in the air or do anything like that.
President Hill, just a point of information. Could you tell us who the fire...
Could you use the microphone, sir?
Use the microphone. You mentioned
Larry Bross, a resident. You mentioned that there are five organizations.
Yes.
But out in the audience, we don't know who the five are. Could you please list them for us? Thank you.
Yes, I'd be glad to. The Church of God of Prophecy is one. Oceana Firefighters Association is another. The Five Cities Fraternal Order of Eagles. And the Eagles Auxiliary. And the Squad Club 745 of the Highway Patrol. Any other comment or questions from the board? Comments or questions from the public?
Could you take a look at that one?
Nell Langford, I own property in Oceano. I almost hate to say this, but...
Can't hear you now.
I almost hate to say this, but fireworks are illegal in SVRAs. Just for what it's worth.
Thank you. Any other comment? Mark?
Okay, since there was a reference of returning part of the profits of fireworks sales to the district, I'm going to have to put a pitch in for graffiti abatement. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Any other comment? Okay, hearing none. I guess we'll look for a motion.
I move that we accept the fine.
Okay. Moved by Director Mann, seconded by Vice President Bookout. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 8B. Public Safety Equipment Sharing Agreement with Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande Fire Departments. This is consideration of the General Manager's recommendation to approve the agreement, which was distributed to the board members earlier in the week.
If you'd like a staff report, I can go ahead and do that.
Please.
For some time, the cities of Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, and Grover Beach, along with the Oceano Community Services Districts, have been meeting to consider methods to more efficiently and effectively deliver fire services in the area. Some of these meetings and studies have been established, which would consider an equipment sharing agreement between three of the agencies, this time not including Pismo Beach. Studies have shown that the three agency, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and the Oceano Fire Department own more maintenance emergency vehicles than would be required if they were under one agency. The proposal was developed to reduce the number of backup vehicles while still maintaining the capability of an adequate response. You have a copy of the proposed agreement, which has been approved and fact by both Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. The agreement would authorize the following actions to be taken. Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach would declare surplus and sell one of two 1996 backup fire engines. The determination of which one to sell would be made mutually by the two city managers in consultation with the fire chief. Both agencies would share the revenue from this sale. Oceano Community Services District Fire is not involved in that part of the agreement at all. Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach would jointly share maintenance of the remaining 1996 backup fire engine. Oceano Community Services District Fire is not involved in that part of the agreement either. An Office of Emergency Services fire engine will serve as an ongoing secondary backup engine for Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. If this fire engine is not available, then the Oceano fire backup engine would be moved to a fire station in one of the cities as directed by the fire chiefs. If the Oceano primary and backup fire engines are not available, then Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach backup fire engine will move and it shall automatically renew on a month-to-month basis thereafter. The agreement calls for appropriate insurance coverage for both liability and automobile coverage. The agreement misidentifies in its original form where our insurance coverage is located. Our insurance company is through American Alternate Insurance Corporation. We'd recommend that the board review and consider the agreement. Any public comment, and authorize the president and the interim secretary to attest it.
Thank you very much. Are there comments or questions from the board, first of all?
Question.
Mr. Barber?
Do we have any idea of the cost for the... Do we have any idea of the cost involved yet, Arnie?
The cost would be very minimal. We're doing training already, and it's just simply a matter of what we're doing is moving the equipment around from place to place in the case that it is ever needed. And okay. It's not to say it's going to happen very often. We don't know how many times it's going to happen. What I read into this agreement that Oceano is going to be afforded better coverage because we're going to be assured of having a backup from one of our two neighboring cities in the event that neither of our units are available.
Yeah, just not significant cost increase for this training.
No.
Was what I was trying to ascertain.
I don't anticipate that.
Thank you.
I had a question, and I'm sorry Chief Mike isn't here. How often would you expect that we would have a primary and a backup missing from Oceano?
It could happen never.
Yeah.
It could happen occasionally. If it does happen, this would cover us, and that's what I saw that I liked into the agreement.
At least it's kind of a working together. I don't see that it is a cost savings thing for us at all. It will be for Grover Beach and Rio Grande,
it is a cost savings.
Yes. So I just feel that maybe it is, the training is a good thing. That's a worthwhile and worthy goal, and working together is a good thing, but I don't think it's going to save us a lot of money, if at all.
I don't see this as saving money. I see this as basically, I see it doing two things. One is, first of all, making sure that if things work as, like it says in the agreement, that we have the ability to cover everything in all three agencies at all times. There could be issues and times where even that coverage is lacking, as you are aware, down in Los Angeles now, where I believe one of our very, very small step towards continuing ongoing movement towards that, which in my opinion, and it's been my opinion for more years than I can care to talk about, is something that could and should be done.
Yeah, I think consolidation is a worthy goal. It's just not going to be a cost-saving thing for us. It will be more of a matter of a joint kind of an agreement that we will work on.
It's us showing good faith in some ways.
And we do occasionally have a necessity for repairs to our primary engine, and in case that if our primary engine's down, occasionally our backup engine could possibly be down simultaneously, and
it can happen.
Provide for coverage during that time. I tend to be favorably impressed with the idea of cross training on all the agencies' equipment, because we do have mutual aid and automatic aid responses that benefit everybody in the not only Oceano but the surrounding communities to work together. So I think that's a positive benefit. Is there a comment or question from the public on this item? Hearing none, bring it back to the board. Is there a motion?
I move that we authorize the president and interim secretary to sign the proposed agreement regarding the equipment sharing.
Second.
Okay, moved by Director Dean, seconded by Vice President Bookout, that we approve the agreement. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Brings us to item 9A, cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines. This is the continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water mains following the San Simeon earthquake. We're required each regular meeting to continue this disclosure. Is there any comment from the public on this item? Hearing none. Look for a motion. Block grant funds.
This will try to summarize a very huge topic in a few words. In 2006, the Oceano Community Services District made application to the County of San Luis Obispo for funds to repair damaged sewer lines from the San Simeon earthquake. The funds requested were federal community development block grant funds, and the total amount approved as a result of this request was $322,126. It had been previously determined that there are 29 segments of the sewer within the Oceano community that were damaged, and I believe you should have a chart and listing of those. Of these 29, funds were anticipated to repair only 13. And these 13 were the segments of highest priority. A report prepared by the Gehring and Taylor Consulting Engineers identifies the segments and includes the 13 highest priority, and you have that report. The $322,126 in federal community development block grant funds have been received and are currently being held by the County of San Luis Obispo. The Oceano Community Services District has contracted with County Planning to do the environmental determination for this project. Most of these studies are complete. The one major study that is still not yet complete and hopes to be completed by sometime at the end of this month or mid-next is the archaeological review. It's estimated these studies will cost $40,000 of these previously identified monies. The cost of the environmental review will be paid to the county. I have been advised that we can, as a district, bill for some of the administrative costs for ourselves from these funds, but I'm still researching how we go about doing that. In addition, funds have been allocated in the amount of $660,000 from state disaster recovery initiative funds for this project. The funds, combined with the federal block grant monies, are allocated for the design, professional services, including the environment and the engineering work and archaeological work, and the construction of the repair project. The project includes all of the 29 segments that were damaged, with a requirement that we do the minimum of the 13 with the highest priority. The best way to understand that is if we get the 14 and we can still fund it, we'll do 14. And so on up the list. This $660,000 in funding has not been received. Issues that need to be addressed following the completion of environmental review include the tentative site visit for the Housing and Community Development is scheduled for May 10th, and then it was rescheduled for June sometime. The purpose of this report is simply to keep you up to date, because this is the biggest project we're working on, so you'll know where we are in the process.
Okay, very much appreciate that. Other comments or questions from the board?
Is there a deadline when we have to have completed the work in order to, like, go to advertising on this project, on the $660,000?
Not to my knowledge, Director Dean. There's not a front-end one. The only deadline that I'm aware of is the back-end one, is that we have to have the hard work, the right. Real work, by 2010.
Okay.
I do know that the county has got this as a priority in what they're working on. I was actually surprised it was as far along as I found it to be when I met with them.
And do they know how long the archaeological review will take or study will take?
Well, what I was told in the meeting, I asked that very question itself, was that it could be very detailed, or it could be as simple as having a certified archaeologist on site during construction. And they were hoping that that would be the answer, but they had no control over it because it was out to a contract to determine that.
That interests me, being just a point of curiosity for a repair of a sewer lines that are already in place. maybe they're going to, what are they going to find, fossilized pipe or something? I'm not, this just strikes me as very unusual.
No comment, sir.
We appreciate the efforts of the county staff on that as well as our own staff. Any other comment or questions? Are all of these locations, especially the top 13, are they subject to Coastal Commission review? You mentioned the Corps of Engineers. That's
and it's over by the creek area.
By the creek area.
There are a number that are in the coastal zone and a number that are not. And I looked at the map and I actually went through and kind of pinpointed those at one time, but my failing memory has not allowed me to keep that.
I guess my only question is that it's part and part.
And it's these things that you pay for the expertise to know this, but you don't really think about it until you go through the process. And one of the other things they've done is that they've put into their plans that whatever excavation is done stays in place at the point rather than being moved and new fill brought in. So that will save us immensely on construction cost. And they've got it all worked out for traffic patterns to go around these things by detours or by keeping one lane open and doing traffic control, which will really save a lot, you know, in terms of headaches and money.
Good. Thank you.
I was very happy with most of what I found.
Are there questions or comment from the public on the report? Mary?
I'm slightly confused. I'm sorry. I actually get confused quite a bit, but that's okay. So I see $322,126 here under federal block grant money. And then you have another source of $660,000 from
State.
Is that similar to like a state FEMA program or something to that sense? But I don't see a scope of work. So now I see $1 million, no sidewalks. I see a sole source contract that was very slick, I must say. And so I'm curious as to, is there a scope of work for this $1 million? And you jumped right into a review process, which... there's a lot of matter that goes between a review process and accumulation of the funds and the scope of work. And so you just outline just design, professional, you know, kind of a few buzzwords, which is good. But I can't see what you're doing with the $1 million. I'm just like a little lost. And I guess the study section of the environmental study kind of took me off over into left field. So if you could just kind of maybe, I know it's the only thing we got going on in the district, but maybe you could elaborate just a little bit more on a timeline and what we're doing with the $1 million.
It's very simple.
Great.
Repairing the sewers
authorized the county to perform a CEQA study, which was prerequisite to getting any of this money dispersed to us and any of these projects to happen. So that part of it is ongoing. As the general manager mentioned, the $660,000 of proposed state disaster relief funds, I believe that's not yet received. So we don't have in hand $1 million. That's been tentatively authorized but not received, as I understand it.
It may be that none of these funds ever touch our personal district budget. They're simply administered for us to repair the damages in our community. I know the county holds the money for the first part, and they release the money based on expenses incurred. Right now, the expenses that we're doing is to pay the county and to pay Gearing and Taylor. And perhaps some money for us as a district, a small amount to reimburse the cost of things that we have done or will be doing. It's money that is solely intended for one purpose only, and cannot be used and will not be used for anything else.
right. Any other comment? Larry first, then Mark.
Larry Bross, resident. This may have nothing to do with the sewers. It does have nothing to do with the sewers you're talking about, but it triggered something in my mind that I'd like to throw out since this is a public meeting. I was here when the outflow from the sewer went out into the ocean. If you remember that major crab platform that built this major flow with 12-foot pipes that went down the creek, and I think it's 2 miles out into the ocean. Now, we know there was major damage right here in Oceano because we had things spurting up from the pipes after the... But I ask this question to you and to whoever's going to be listening to this. Has anybody inspected the 12-foot pipe going out into the ocean? Thank you.
That would be the South San Luis County Sanitation District there, though.
Well, I would like to direct somebody to ask that question.
Were necessary at the time. Other comment or questions? Mark?
Arnie had mentioned a figure of $40,000, I believe, for a study. Was that an EIR study? Okay. Do you have any estimate for the other admin costs related to coastal commission reviews, the other reviews that were mentioned? We have other considerations, the archaeologists. Do you have any kind of estimate as far as those admin costs?
No, because it depends on what those agencies require of us to respond to their questions and needs. So you cannot go in and say, okay, Coastal Commission, we will give you this information. It doesn't work that way. The Coastal Commission will say, would you please provide us this information and get these permits and hold these hearings and do these things. I'm sure there are some estimates into the money, but they are not in any way something that can be drawn out. And we know that the cost of doing the work in some ways will depend on how we can get through these permit processes as fast as we can.
Okay. Do you have any idea how many permit processes or permits?
I just know the agencies, which are those that I listed off, that we have to deal with. And if you can tell me what they want, I would certainly be happy to get the information, Mark, because we don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comment? Hearing none, thank you very much for the report, Arnie. I really appreciate having the report made in a meeting so that members of the community can be advised on where we're at on something that is a major project in the district. And I very much appreciate the information being shared.
And maybe Mary needs a copy of the spreadsheet. I don't know if she got that in.
No, I just had them made for the board.
It's
because
helpful.
They're
it's very helpful.
Expensive, but she's certainly welcome to
I'll
look at it and go through it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for the report. Brings us to item number 10, administrative items, 10A. A discussion regarding the potential sale of Oceano Dunes property by the County of San Luis Obispo. A discussion regarding possible purchase of Oceano Dunes property is requested by Director Dahl. So, Vern, this is your request. Would you like to introduce it?
I'd like to give the board a little bit of background on why I brought it here and what's going on. Actually, the triggering of this was a statement that Bill made a few board meetings back in passing about we should buy the beach. And it got me to talking to different people in the community and looking at the fact that we haven't looked at what our options are here as a district. And it's what will be done or can be done there. And it had occurred to me that we haven't looked at our options as a district here in what we can, you know, whether we want to spend the time looking at what those options are or not. Not that we're here to see if you know, to decide at this point if we want to buy the dunes. That wasn't the intent. But the intent was to see if we are interested in looking at what the options are, and that if that is an option or anything along those lines. And in doing that, I did ask someone to come here this evening to give us a short presentation on some of the stuff that's been going on with that. And he's also been very instrumental in bringing Joe Frischoni, who's here. He's been instrumental in bringing money to Pismo when he was mayor there, that was interest free from the state and different things. And I asked him to come and talk about, you know, to scratch into this as far as some of our possible options and things are concerned. And if the board would please give him a few moments to talk, I think that would also help move this along.
Okay, Joe, would you like to address the question?
I'm Joe Crescioni. I do appreciate the ability to come over here and talk to you about this issue that is extremely important to, I believe, the entire county. Unfortunately, I need to tell you that I didn't have the time to really put a good presentation because I was extremely busy. And one of the things that happened was I very quickly realized that I had two of your members that were, in essence, talking about the same thing. And I became very concerned that perhaps if I spoke to any other members, that we would all of a sudden have a problem with the Brown Act. So I stopped at that point and only spoke to those. I also would like to make it well understood that this is a discussion item, and none of these things are a done deal. I, as many other individuals, were a little disappointed with the board's action on April the 17th, and I truly believe that the board never truly understood what the issue was. And the issue here is local control. We've seen many, many issues come through here, and most of us that have been here for a long time know that local control is perhaps the single most important thing and most valuable item that we need to cherish. And the thing that bothered me a lot was the fact that the board appears to be willing to give away one of our most coveted assets, and that's our beaches. And we all know that once we sell something, it's gone forever. And when you sell it to Sacramento, it is really gone. I worked in Sacramento for years, so I know exactly what this means. So local control, again, is an area that we need to be very cognizant of. At the couple of meetings ago, actually, right here in this building, was what I felt was a very, very good discussion that a wise and very gentle lady that happens to be sitting here back here, said that the county is ready to give away gold in return. That's bothering me. You know, having worked in the Sacramento area, having been in this area for a long time, and in politics for the last 40 years, I know that that wave goes back up and down as far as money is concerned. And there will be shortfalls. Sacramento has those all the time, regardless of whether they pay too much for electricity or whatever it is, it happens. But those things do happen. And you know what? The first thing that's cut happens to be is always recreation. That's the very first thing that's cut. Salaries are always the element that is always saved, cherished. So you know what's going to happen. Things are going to happen to you, right here, to us. Every 4 years, there is a possibility of a completely different philosophy that occurs in Sacramento. Some of us that were here way back in 63 remember a name of William M. Mott. I'm sorry. William Penn Mott was in charge of the parks and beaches. That individual was the most difficult person to work with. And some of us had some real difficulties trying to get things accomplished here. The other problem that's always occurring is the fact that you have some special interest groups that come up with large numbers of votes and could very, very easily derail anything that would be advantageous to us here. And believe me, unless you own it, you have absolutely nothing to say about what is going to be taking place. And I've also heard many individuals that use our beaches for recreation and looking around asking, where are these people from? Very, very few are this local that they live here in this area. These people do not own the dunes. And what are we really talking about? We're really talking about three extremely important things. Number one, local control. Number two, local control. Number three, local control. That's really what we're really talking about. Now, I have been asked the question, what happens when a piece of property is declared surplus? And I have been involved in the process. And of course, the federal government has first option, then the state, the county itself has the ability to purchase it, cities, districts, and then the general public can buy it. You'd be surprised how many individuals said they're willing to pay that almost $5 million of the piece of property. It's extremely valuable. And then the other thing is, I've also had people tell me, well, Oceano doesn't have the money. Well, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can acquire a piece of property. One of them, that we could lease it. We could lease the property exactly the same way that the state has, for $1 a year. The state doesn't even pay us a dollar, okay? Or we could actually buy it for a dollar. You know, communities do sell property and other things for a dollar. Or we could pay whatever it is that the going rate is. And so the thing is, does Oceano have the money to buy it? I ask you to think about what was happening with the Clark Center. You know, the Clark Center was simply an idea. And that idea was made possible because the local community believes in it. And if you believe in something, you can make it happen. So, what will we do if we own the beach? Okay. Well, obviously, we could get into this, and I believe that everyone in this audience could very easily come up with a million ways of making it happen. But I think that perhaps you're all smart enough to understand that you're not going to develop a plan overnight, and that you're going to have a lot of input so as to continue to use the facility. Well, if we own it, we can definitely establish the rules and regulations that will in fact keep it safe for us. How do we make it happen? You know, those channel doesn't have the ability to make something like this happen. Well, that's not true. You know, what's Pismo doing right now with the car show? All they did was put out an RFP, and people came over and said, hey, we'll do it for you. The simplest would be to simply let the state do it for us as they're doing it today, but under our control, naturally. The thing that I hear all the time saying that there's a problem with crossing a creek. Well, I know the reason why there's a problem is because the problem has never been discussed. They just continue to do the same thing. There are many, many solutions as to how to cross that creek without endangering the fish and the wildlife that happens to be there. So my real big question here is, what are you willing to do? You know, it's up to you right now. What's next? That's the real big question. You can very easily write a letter to the board and request that you be considered to purchase the property. But I'll leave that up to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Vern, did you want to make any other comment?
Well, I think that that basically the intent is to see if we as a board are interested in looking at what our options are and going, you know, or if we're just going to set back and say, hey, you know, the county's going to do what the county's going to do, and we're not going to, you know, it's not part of us. And that's basically the discussion I wanted to have. Do we want to look at it, ask the county to consider us and see if we can do it, or do we want to, you know, we want to put together a public meeting and see if the public's interested in us looking at it, or if the public...
You know, if the county sells the dunes to the state, there's no assurances that Oceana would get any money. And having local control, like, reminds me of a saying, he who has the gold makes the rules. If we don't have to annex this property to own this property, if we could pay the county a dollar for the property, maybe they'll take a dollar for it. I think at a meeting I offered $500 as down payment from my side of the thing, but I prefer just giving them a dollar and acquiring the property for the benefit of Oceano. I don't know if that's possible, but if we had ownership of those dunes, we would then have the gold, which would allow us to say we would like to see an alternative access through a different section of Oceano. Recently, I went hiking on the dunes out towards Grover Beach, and I got to the middle of the dunes, and there's this road from the state parks going right through the middle of the dunes to the beach. And most people would never see that road. But that road is a beautiful little road. It's 1.5 car lane. But that road that's there, which I recently just found it, if we had control of the dunes and we were able to say that we don't want to see the amount of traffic going down Pier Avenue because it has effects down there to our lagoon, siltation lagoon. We want to see alternative access. We would have the power as a community to see that we have an alternative access and that the state works with us in that alternative access. If we sell these dunes, if the dunes are just sold to them without, and Oceano no longer has any control, they can do what they want to do. Alternative access, which in the Condor Environmental Planning Survey, which was done by the state, they looked at using 22nd Street and then ultimately coming down to Creek Street and going down the levee. Well, what they didn't look is coming down 22nd Street to Silver Spur, down to Creek, and then out behind the Silver Spur Park and making an alternative access. At that location behind the park, if it's possible at the community of Oceano, we're landlocked. Is Oceano ever going to annex south of the creek, the Rio Grande Creek? I don't know, and I don't know what's going to happen 20, 30 years from now. But if we were ever to grow the city other than fill in their lots in, within our community, that's the direction we would go. That area does have a potential of flooding. But also, there's campground areas down there. There's been people talking about crossing the creek, and we've heard a lot of that at every meeting we've had. That creek is a big issue. The creek is currently the state is closing off a large section of the creek, and they're putting in snowy plover habitat there. They've fenced it off where normal people from Oceano and all around would normally drive across that. That's a concern to me. I like it because now we have a lagoon down there, and it does look very pretty. The county airport has an ordinance, FAA, that no bird habitat can be established within 10,000 feet of an airport. But now the state parks is ultimately they're establishing bird habitat. That tells me that our dunes are threatened for future ATV riders, which that's pretty much what supports our community. Our neighbors work in fields that involve restaurants, hotels, which that's what drives our community. I think if we all at least look at, you know, the possible purchase of them and if possibly writing a letter to the county, offering them at least a dollar, and see what their response is.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
Other comment or questions? I guess if we're going to discuss opinions on this property, I'm not sure about the idea of buying this property for a dollar, because I think the county has some obligation to get the maximum return should they decide to sell it. My concern with the concept of local control, first of all, I'm adamantly in favor of local control. I think the best way to assure local control is for the county to maintain. I'm not sure that, you know, law enforcement perhaps isn't perhaps more important than ownership of property on the dunes. There's no park on the east side of town. That by just a back of the envelope calculation, you could probably buy a dozen or more properties in the middle of the community to establish a park. Is that a more valuable use of those kind of resources were it to come up? Second, one thing that troubles me the most about this is I don't think that particular piece of property is the issue. I think the issue is that a lot of people would like to see an alternative access. And I think an alternative access can be achieved without owning that particular piece of property on behalf of the district. And I think that's my major concern. And consider that if you spend your resources to buy this property, perhaps with the intention of putting in an alternative access, while you're spending your resources to own that piece of the dunes, is somebody else going to put in an alternative access, perhaps in Santa Barbara County or some other place, that would be used? I think the idea that crossing the creek is eventually going to be an issue with the Coastal Commission, I think many people see that coming, to where an alternative access would be needed. Those that support this idea for the idea of closing off off-road vehicle access to the property, I don't believe that that's going to happen. The state's already told us that they're going to have off-road vehicle access regardless of what happens with this property, and that they can bypass this property for ORV access already. It would seem to me that using resources that might achieve an alternative entrance and have that available, especially at the time that crossing the creek access might be closed off by the Coastal Commission, seems to me to be to speak more directly to the issue than purely owning a block of land on the beach. That's just how it looks to me.
I think the last time that we really discussed the beach, this board said, we all agreed, that we would ask the county not to sell it.
County, to please don't sell it to the state, to keep control of it, to do what was right for the community, to do what was right for the county. And we did our best there. And it was like they didn't hear us at all. It's a really sad thing. And I'm thinking this decision is already made, and it's being made behind closed doors, and we will have nothing to show for any of this. We won't have local control. It's very difficult with the state, getting them to listen to our voice. We've had years and years of experience of them not listening to us. The Coastal Commission hasn't even been able to enforce the permit condition of an alternative access road. So here we are with a temporary access road through Pier Avenue that shouldn't have been there for the last 23 years. I'd like to see the Coastal Commission actually do what they're supposed to do and put that alternative access in. One of the flaws, I think, in the Condor environmental discussion is they talked about all the old options instead of maybe rethinking and looking at new options. And Bill was talking about 22nd Street. Mm-hmm. I think that's a viable option for us to have an access at 22nd Street. So my idea is, I think we did the right thing when we went to the Board of Supervisors. The bad thing is we tried our very best. We went there with many, many people, and they aren't listening to us. I don't know that the little community of Oceana, we're having a lot of problems, as you can tell, with all the things that we need to do, we're spread very thin. So my idea is that I reaffirm that I'd like local control, I'd like the county to lease that property, and I'd like the Coastal Commission to do what they said they were going to do 23 years ago when they allowed the permitting for the off-road vehicles.
I like what everybody's saying. I think you've saw a unanimous decision by the five of us here in the past in the agreement that we think the best thing is that the county owns of what we can do. We all have our opinions of what we can and what we can't do, but we haven't had the research done to know for sure what we can and what we can't do. And at what point, where's the community on this? I'm thinking that the best option is the county owns it, but the county doesn't seem to want to.
How do you know what those four people are talking about in there?
Well, I don't think they have four votes, but my understanding is they got three of them.
but it takes four votes.
Yeah. And I would think that the best thing is that the county owns it. Okay, but I'm looking. Do we look at the options in case they don't? In case they do go to sell, do we look at what options we have here to keep this in local control for the local people?
You know, the county's taken this in closed session, and they can go a long ways, and they can pretty much decide in closed session that they're going to sell this property to the state. What we want, what we've asked for, is local control, that the county retain the property, and that's ultimately the consensus of what the board is asking, has asked for, and is stating right here, is that the county keep the property. But how this came up here tonight, what I'm looking at is, well, what if the county is going to sell the dunes to the state? We as a community want to keep it in local control. So that's the only alternative would be to make an offer on the property. And if they're deciding to sell it to the state, and if we are making an offer, and if we decide we want local control, how do we go about purchasing this property? And, you know, a dollar sounds ridiculous, but I think there's been less property sold. Who bought Canada? Or no, Alaska? I mean, for how much? I don't know.
That was Mr. Seward. At the time, called Seward's Folly.
You know, but ultimately, you know, if you look back, what Alaska was paid for in the time it was bought, I mean, it's pretty much a joke. These dunes, you can't replace them. And we want to make sure it's good for Oceano.
I agree with Barbara. I haven't given option, which is perfectly proper, but the decision to actually sell the property, if they were to do that, would be made in open session, if I read that correctly. And so I think at that time, if they actually did make some decision to sell it, that, you know, we might consider other options. But I believe Supervisor Patterson and the other supervisors will see the benefit of local control in maintaining it. I have faith in the county supervisors.
Well, I think that's what we would all like to see, is that they maintain it, that they own it. But I think their decision is not whether to sell it or not. Their decision is whether to sell it to the state or not. Am I off on that? Yeah. But that was my that was what I thought was going on. And that, those are questions that I'm wondering, do we want to make sure, you know, get those questions answered, get fully informed on how this is, you know, exactly what is, what's possible and what's going on? Do we have staff look into it farther?
Well, I think probably your best bet is to go lobby the supervisors personally and tell them all of the things that Kacha was not able to tell them at the Board of Supervisors hearing. He got in a few of our concerns, but they don't know the half of it. Really, Supervisor Patterson did come to to our meeting, and I applaud him for that, but maybe they don't know everything, and it might behoove us to go in and talk to them individually. Maybe that would be the best next step to let them know what's really going on here and what's been happening over the past years. We've got some very eloquent, very knowledgeable people that could be part of that.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe Vern, since you started the item, maybe you would be willing to, or you and Joe perhaps, put together a list of questions that you might forward to the Board of Supervisors or county staff to ask to get some of those questions resolved.
Chair Hill, I remembered where I am. Perhaps one of the thoughts that I think kind of echo.
Mr. Crescioni could come back up and give his thoughts on what he thinks would be a good way to go at this point.
I'd at this point, we need to have public comment on this item. Let's hear what the residents think of the proposal.
Okay.
Mark?
You know, I don't see a whole lot of difference between the counties shirking the responsibility with Zone 1 and 1A and what's happening here with the dunes. They don't want the responsibility. I think that has been made clear. Okay. The idea of buying it for a buck, well, that's nice. Not going to happen, I don't think. Fine, let's consider giving them their $4 million or $5 million. That's an income-producing property. I don't see why that can't be amortized out over a few years and paid off. Good suggestion.
Larry.
I'm sitting here listening to you mull it over, and I have a lot to say on this issue. First of all, I think we've effectively stopped the sale. That's number one. Secondly, it's been, I mean, 25 years ago, the county was able to go through with this, to get this to the state without CEQA was in effect. All right? This was not a lease. It was an operating agreement. So they didn't have to have an environmental report. They got it through. Nobody knew about it. Now all of you are interested, which is wonderful. In fact, you're even talking about buying it, which is great. You know? There's no reason why you can't make an offer like anybody else. Here's what's happening now. I'm quite sure this is what's happening. We have two members on the board who will not sell to the state. Now, what's going to happen after that, we don't know. But they may sell to somebody else. It could be the State Lands Commission. You know, it could be the Oceano Community Service District. That is a government. You are a government. These issues are addressed. So I'm asking you, are you willing to address the issues? Why should they sell it to you if you won't address the issues? The issues one would be alternative entrance. You know, the issues two is why is this community the only community that doesn't have a pedestrian beach? I'm not saying get the cars all off completely, but shouldn't there be a beach for the people that live on both sides of the highway that they can have their kids there free? You know, shouldn't we fight for that? Are you willing to address that issue? You know, you seem to be interested in the money, Bill, and I don't blame you. Money makes America work, you know. And money's important, and gosh, Oceano needs the money. You know? But the issues here have to come first, it seems to me. At Pier Avenue, you know, they called it Pier Avenue because there was a pier out there at one time. Then there was a wooden ramp. And then, you know, what we're concerned about here is the mismanagement of this park. And we want to manage it right. We want it managed right, whether the county manages it. The county, you're right, they washed their hands with it. They didn't want to have anything to do with it for 25 years. Now they've got to have something to do with it because the public is now interested. They're going to either have to shut it all down or make it run correctly. I'd like to see it run right. You know, let's compromise first. Let's see if it can't be done right, and let's get our 2 cents into it. I mean, Oceano, this is our beach. And it seems to me that we should be interested in it, even to making an offer if that comes down to it. Even because there are going to be, you know, if they can't sell, if they really want to sell, and by the way, they'll have, you know, the state made an offer and they appraised it. It's really nice to be the appraiser and make the offer at the same time. You know, that's what they did. So, I mean, there are going to be other entities that are going to offer probably more than the 4,000 if it seems to me that they still want to sell it. So I think maybe you ought to have a committee to explore the idea of making an offer. Be among, you know, be among the interested buyers. If you're interested in doing something about the issues and cleaning the mess up, it's a mess. You know it. I mean, we've got some real rains in that estuary starts making its way back behind the creek. You know, it is a birder's paradise. You know, birders could be here. They're very good tourists, and they pay good money. They pay good money. You know, we could have the hotels here, too. And I kind of think, you know, that Grover and Pismo is almost afraid of our competition, what we could actually do as a community. So I think you ought to think about making a committee and to look at the idea of buying it. There's nothing wrong with that. You should also be, we should also be an interested purchaser of this thing.
Other comment, Gordon?
Directors, good evening. I was pleased when I learned that you were considering acquiring the Grand Dunes track. Most of the community wants local control, and how local can you get if OCSD gets it? I think that's great. It's wonderful. I would like to urge you to please try to acquire the land. And as I recall, some years ago, the OCSD sold or gave the airport to the county for a dollar or for free. Maybe you can get trade back and pass consideration for this somehow if you're looking for some sort of a bargain. But please do try to acquire the land and keep local control. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comment?
President Hill and honorable directors, it's in your hands. And it's in good hands. And I know you're going to do the right thing. That's it.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Dave?
My name is Dave Angelo. I'm a resident here. I just I hate to disappoint everybody, but the district doesn't have $5 million, 4.8, and I think that should be brought up because, you know, and if they did have $4.8 billion, there's other things within this community, such as maybe a drainage project.
Tony Maldonado, Oceano. Okay, we are all over here. We can buy, we can sell, or whatever, okay? What we have to do is get together, really get together, and tell the county that this is their county, this is our inheritance for many years. It has been for hundreds of years. And all the county is getting benefits from it. If we sell this, the county is going to lose, not only Oceano, the whole county. Because the whole county and all the counties around us come over here to our little playground. They are the ones leaving our money over here. And the state wants it because it's a gold mine, and we all know that. So what we should do is really try as hard as we can. If we can buy, we can lease. If they're willing to pay a dollar a year, maybe we can pay five. A year, what's $5? Between the five of us, we can get $5 a year. And I think that we should really try to keep what we have. This is our only thing that we have going. And try to better ourselves. This is all on us. Not only you five there. Not only else. It's the whole county. This is a thing for the whole county. Not only for us here in Oceano. Because everybody around us is benefiting by it except us. This is all I have to say, and thank you.
Thank you, Antonia. Any other public comment? Okay, well, the suggestion was made, I'll bring it back to the board then, the suggestion was made that we put up an ad hoc committee to meet with the supervisors.
That is just one suggestion. There are probably millions.
We can officially lobby the supervisors if that's a position. I know we've made our position at the supervisors' meeting. We lobbied the supervisors as well we can personally, but as far as an OCSD lobbying committee,
I think after tonight they're going to pretty much know our position. So there might be someone out there could, you know, shake a can or something and collect some money. But ultimately, the supervisors know that, you know, we will want to see local control. I don't know if we need to go up and talk to them anymore.
Well, I think it never hurts to reiterate your position.
My position is we want to know what they're thinking as much as they want to know what we're thinking. It may be easy to buy. It may be very difficult and very expensive to manage. We've heard on numerous occasions how much the cost is for habitat control. The program is over $1 million a year that the state is expending, and they have to do it. It is a matter of permitting. So I think maybe we take it a step at a time and see what our supervisors are thinking. They know what we're thinking. We can reiterate it again and give them all our reasons, but I'd like to know where they're coming from, and maybe meeting with them would be the first step. I would support doing that, to see them, and setting up a meeting to meet with each of the supervisors.
So maybe a ad hoc committee to look into, to do these things and to look into anything that the board may and the public may want to do, and come back with some things to the board on it.
And maybe they have some ideas for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if we were to, what's the consensus? Do we want to appoint a two-member?
If you want to send two people up to talk to the Board of Supervisors to remind them again that we don't want them to sell it. We want them to continue to have the control. I'm for that. I don't want to do anything else.
That would be the first going to them and speaking. Yeah. That's,
and if
that's
you're
going to
do something else,
say,
it needs to come back and talk about more.
Exactly.
But as far as appointing two people on an ad hoc committee to go up and visit with the boys, I could go along with that.
And lobby the supervisor. That's fine. And all five of you could do it at different times. That's not a serial meeting. The serial meeting.
Two of them go together and lobby the five.
You mean at a public meeting?
No. I mean, can Pamela and whoever make an appointment? Not the five. They only need to talk to four.
So they would make a series of appointments and talk to the four at different times.
Yes, can they do that?
You certainly can, so long as you do not act as a conduit for them to, in effect, discuss their proposed action by using you as the intermediary to accomplish that. But you certainly can go and lobby them, yes.
And when you're lobbying them, usually you're pretty good at figuring out from their body language, if nothing else.
One of the discussions was also to be able to perhaps get some information from them to bring, so we would know more of what their thinking was. And I'm not sure you could do that under that circumstance.
Well, they'd come and lobby us.
You could take information that they would provide to you. The place where you cross the line is when you attempt to act as an intermediary among them to try and reach a consensus among them.
Oh, in other words, you couldn't say, well, Supervisor 1
would like to do this to the supervisor, too.
It would be, exactly. It would be as if your general manager went around and met with you in five separate meetings. And he could meet with you in five separate meetings. He could tell you, here's the things we have on the agenda next week, and explain to you what issues are facing the district. And doing that, he's fine. But as soon as he starts to say, now, Ms. Dean, I think Director Mann will do this if you'll come a little closer, then you've crossed the line.
Yeah, but we know our place, so we wouldn't make that mistake, would we, Ms. Dean?
We wouldn't make that mistake.
And maybe the ad hoc committee could meet as well to see what additional information we need to gather or could gather for the board, for us to know, you know, as making sure that we're, you know, we're up to speed on all, you know, on the different possibilities and stuff that, you know, the different things that we have. Now, let me try to restate that. Something that, you know, if there's any additional questions we need to get answered, things we need to learn about this.
Well, it's not the ad hoc committee, the two people that are going to be going up and speaking.
It seems to me, if they're exploring other offers, you know, it seems to me that they're at an impasse at this point with this offer of the state. In fact, Pamela Green said that if the money is going to run out, just like Joe says, you know, the money's going out in June. They're going to have to pull that offer off. And at least you can ask them and get some information for your board if they're exploring, if they will be exploring other offers or other suggestions other than the state offer. Or what they expect to do, you know. And ask them in the name of the Oceana board. Since we are interested, and what I don't know how they're going to keep secrecy forever. Somebody's got to go up and ask them, are you exploring any other offers? You don't have to make an offer, but, or, you know, and get some information for the board. You know, if you try to individually now make appointments with members of the board, it's very difficult. Supposedly there's an open door policy, but I haven't seen much open door policy down there. So maybe as a board, you'd have more clout than we as individuals now have to try to find out what's going on back there. At least to find out if they're exploring other offers.
I don't know if they're discussing things of that nature in closed session, they may not be able to report on that.
National security assessment.
I'd like to go back with asking our ad hoc people to go up and remind them of what we said we wanted.
I would support that also.
I nominate Pamela to be one of the people.
I'm going to nominate Vern and Pamela. So,
Vern and Pamela, is that would you be willing to serve?
Yeah, sure.
Definitely.
Okay. With that, then, I guess as far as committees and so forth, I have the authority to appoint committees subject to the approval of the board, so I would propose to appoint Pamela and Vern to an ad hoc committee to lobby the supervisors as discussed. I think Barbara told our position. We want to reiterate that, and with the
let's change the term to coordinated meeting.
Yes, coordinated meeting.
Okay. Item 10B, discussion regarding interview process for candidates for the position of general manager.
Okay.
Consideration of the general manager's recommendation to schedule dates and times for the interview process for the position of general manager.
I think all our applicants are leaving. At the previous Board of Directors meeting, it was authorized to extend the recruitment for general manager based on some work relating to various publication dates. I have established the date of June 11th. Perhaps we'll wait just a second.
It's 8:30. Let's take 5 minutes
and we'll reconvene at 8:30, 25 after now.
Being mindful of 10 o'clock.
Mindful of 10 o'clock. Thanks, Alice.
I want the information to make the decision.